Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Debut.
It was an amazing experience, and I'm so happy to be part of the UFC now.
Kay Hansen!
Gets caught right now, Eric Anders! Knocks Vinicius Moreno!
You guys had to be patient, conserve a little energy, and pick my shots.
Ladies and gentlemen, your boy Eric Anders!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I, in a moment, will be getting to our first interview. We always start right before our first guest for some reason. I don't know why we do that, but we just
I know why, Jimmy.
Why?
Well, I don't want to, I you know, I like people to see behind the scenes.
Yes.
And usually it's by tardiness.
So yeah, we have Kay Hansen, who we'll be speaking to in just a moment. And also we have Eric Anders on the show returning as well.
You know what I love about Eric Anders? A lot of things, but you know what I really love about him?
What?
Is his nickname. Do you know his nickname?
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it?
The Terror?
Well, Jimmy, no. You don't know his nickname? I don't remember. Eric Anders?
You're lucky I remember your name. Well, my memory stinks.
It's fun to say because it's Eric. Yeah, boy.
Oh, yeah, boy. That's right. Yeah, your boy.
Oh, that's how you say it?
Your boy?
We have to talk to him because I thought it's yeah, boy.
Maybe.
I think.
Okay. All right, let's get to Kay. We'll ask him how
let's
to pronounce
to
it.
Kay.
Or we can just watch Bruce Buffer say it once.
No.
It's your
what
boy.
Is it? Your boy?
Your boy.
Yeah. What is it?
Your boy. Y-A-B-O-Y or B-O-I. Your boy.
For some reason, I thought it was yeah, boy.
That's incorrect.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Doing well. Matt was scolding me because I could not remember Eric Anders' nickname. I'm not very good with remembering nicknames. I have a terrible memory, so it's good to see you.
You know his nickname, Kay?
What happened?
You know Eric Anders' nickname?
I don't know.
Well, some say it's, what is it, Jimmy?
It's your boy.
Y-A- it's your boy.
Yeah, it is
but
your boy.
But some people call it, yeah, boy, like that.
And by some people, Matt means he does. No one else.
Hey, do you have a nickname?
I don't have a nickname. Like,
who needs
everyone's
one?
Tried, but nothing has stuck. So
it has to come organically.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been too forced, so I have yet to find one. But I'm okay. I feel like Kay Hansen has, like, a nice little ring to it, nice and easy.
There are some that are great. Like, Anderson the Spider Silva is great. Rowdy Ronda Rousey is a great nickname.
Yeah.
They have to flow. And I guess it all, when you have to hear Bruce Buffer saying it.
Exactly. When he says it, everything sounds better. So
it does, right?
We need something original, like another nickname, like the Pitbull.
Oh, no.
Come on, man. Who comes up with, I mean,
so many Pitbulls, it's crazy.
Well, Arlovsky's 20 years in, though. So that's fair.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey, listen, I was just watching your last fight,
versus Fleck, just because I haven't seen it in a while. But I'll tell you, what a debut. Because you have, what I like about the fight is Frey was in the fight in a sense she was doing a lot of things right. And it was, you don't want to label it like a grappler versus striker type of thing because you both have skills elsewhere. But you kind of both know where you both wanted it. And you had to deal with some adversity, I think, after that first round because she was doing well that first round. And then the second round, you came in, did fantastic. You came down to the third round. She was defending the takedown, Jimmy, if you remember this. And then that beautiful arm lock. Is that you've done that before in training, or did you just pull that out of your head?
I don't know. Like, I'm always, like, kind of just messing around with stuff, like, when it comes to jiu-jitsu in my training. So I think I've done, like, a variation of it, but I've never, like, actually done that. I knew going into the fight, like, obviously we're both martial artists, but her strength is striking and mine was grappling. So I knew, and I knew she knew what I wanted to do. So, like, I knew I had to get creative, especially in that third round. Like, I knew I lost the first, you know. The second one I thought I won, but you never know with the judges. So I knew she wasn't just going to give me any takedown. So I was just kind of like, all right, well, we're going to do this. We're just going to go with it. And it ended up working out. So.
Yeah, she tapped too. They said something about that. She looked like she was very relaxed, and then she had a very strange look on her face, and she just she didn't. Maybe she just knew there was nothing. I guess you had that in pretty tight. She probably knew there was nothing she was going to do. But that was an interesting tap.
I thought it was an interesting tap too. I think it was like the arm shoulder lock that did it. You know, I don't think it was the triangle, but. I mean, she was pretty deep in at that point. And I mean, even if I wouldn't have got the armbar, I would have just started punching and elbowing. So I feel like it would have been a TKO or, you know, either way. So.
Right, right. In the position you're in.
Yeah.
I think she knew it was a checkmate, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, no one gets checkmated. They always resign before they're checkmated. That's kind of what that was. Like, you know, you don't get your arm broken. You tap before it's broken. That's kind of how it is. Smart.
True.
Well, maybe that remotely looked like that where somebody got out. Was Corey Sanhagen versus that Brazilian fighter, which I really wish I remembered the name. But Corey Sanhagen gotten something very similar. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was studying it because he was getting ready to fight. I was, you know, he's had to fight Aljo after that. And I'm like, shoot, this guy's hard to submit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because most people are going to do what Frey did right there and said, all right, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe better luck next time type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even though standing, because you got cut in that fight, she might have been landing better, but you weren't gun shy. It looks like you've gotten a lot of work in upstairs.
Yeah, so I mean, and I've done a lot more work since because I did like see a lot of holes in my game there, and I always knew like I had a lot of holes there, and it was just like that fight kind of opened my eyes. So, like, okay, you need to fix this now. Like, you're in the UFC, you're in the big leagues. Like, no more messing around. Let's get this done. But I've never been afraid to strike. Like, I've boxed professionally, and like. I started everything at once. So, I mean, I'm not scared to be on the feet, but my strength was grappling. And I knew she had a lot of experience, too, going into that fight. So, like, that's why when I went into the first round, like, I didn't go into the first round, like, trying to go, like, guns blazing, like, let's go for a takedown right away. Like, I didn't really go for much because I knew that's what, like, everyone knows what I want to do. Or, you know, especially when it's, like, a striker versus grappler. We both came from Invicta, too, so we were both very familiar with each other. So I feel like, you know, I'm not afraid to be on the feet at all, especially now. Like, I didn't change camps, but I added Classic Fight Team to my camp, working with Tyler Wombles, and man, it's completely changed my game. So I'm hoping like everyone will see like the best version of me coming up.
How do you feel mentally? You know, obviously you're very open in your recent interview with Bloody Elbow about just your life and separating from your dad. And it's always great to see somebody talk about the stuff that a lot of people don't talk about because other people in that situation hear it and it makes it a little bit easier for them to do something. So how are you feeling mentally? And is this a different camp for you?
Yeah. So I got out of that situation like 2 years ago. So I'm a little bit removed from it. So I've had a while, but I feel like recently, like I've kind of just like hit another level. And that's why I kind of opened up about it. And, like, it's only the tip of the iceberg for, like, you know, my story and my life. But I want to, like, slowly kind of open up about it and kind of use my platform as, like, you know, someone who is in, like, a similar situation that I was in. Like, you need to do what's best for you, you know? Just because they're family doesn't, like, mean you should sacrifice, like, your mental health or your safety, you know? So Mentally, I feel great. I haven't felt this good mentally, like, just about life. Like, not even about fighting. Like, you take fighting out of the equation. Like lately, like, I've just enjoyed life. And I feel like it's going to translate into my fighting. Because, like, me enjoying life was, like, me enjoying training more. And, like, me enjoying just life, you know? So, I'm excited. I haven't been this excited to fight in a long time. So it's probably, like, my pro debut. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity.
And do you like that it's in the situation that it's in within there in the pandemic, where there's not the pressure of the crowd? Like, that's kind of make it a little bit easier to kind of counteract some of the, I'm sure, the early fight UFC nerves that people go through.
I don't know. Like, for me, I don't really pay attention. Like, when I fought for Invicta, like, there were crowds, but obviously the UFC has, like, a different, like, level of crowds. But, like, it's kind of what you kind of, like, dream of. You know what I mean? Right. When you, like, you go to the UFC, you're like, it's going to be like this big crowd. And like, you know, there's still the bright lights. It's still like everything, but that crowd missing, like, I mean, it might take some pressure off, but like, I feel like it takes away from the experience a little bit. So I am kind of bummed, like, that I haven't got to experience a crowd yet. You know what I mean? But, you know, hopefully things will change. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But either way, I'm excited.
You said you started with everything at once.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're so young, being 21. When did you get started with your training?
I started training when I was 16. I was, like, freshly 16, I think. Yeah. And then I literally saw, I've told the story a few times, but I watched Ronda Rousey versus Betch Kohea. And I was, like, 3 weeks later, I was in the gym, and I was, like, I'm going to be UFC champion. Like, I walked in saying that, and, like, it still holds to this day, but, like, I've never had something in my life where I was, like, I'm so sure of this. Like, I got to do this. And I haven't stepped out of the gym since, so.
It's amazing how many people, Ronda Rousey, young women, that and then guys that she just influenced, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
There was just this judo girl, and I'm going to look up her name because I just watched that fight last night on the Dana White Contender Series.
Yeah.
And this tough judo, I'm going to say her name later. I'm sorry. I don't have it in front of me, but wow. She was talking about how she got influenced from Brazil. She got influenced by Ronda, and she looked like a beast too. So all
was
these
it,
young
Pinedo, Luana Pinedo.
Yes. The one last night.
Pinheiro. Yeah. Yeah. She won she had a ferocious,
by strikes. Too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Nah, that's good. That's great. And now let me ask you, Kate, did you take to everything? Like you said, you learned everything all at once, and you had a pro fight with boxing. Did you take to the striking as quickly and as you did to the groundwork? Because your ground game looked special.
For some reason, I just kind of gravitated towards like wrestling and grappling. Maybe it's like my body style. Maybe it's like, I don't know what it is, but I definitely gravitated towards grappling more. The reason I started like professionally boxing was because my second pro fight I lost. I got cut. I got bloodied, but like my hands just weren't crisp. You know, and I wanted to, like, take a step. So I didn't fight MMA for a little, like, 6 months maybe. But, like, it felt like forever to me. It was, like, 4 months, maybe 6 months. But I boxed, like, 4 or 5 times in between just to, like, get experience only using my hands. You know, like, singling it out. Like, you can't wrestle. You can't grapple. Like, you can't kick. Just box. So that helped me for sure. And, like, but I don't know, like, I for sure did take to grappling, but, like, lately I've for sure, like, leveled up in my striking, and I have, like, a new passion for striking that I haven't had since, like, you know, I first started training, so I'm really excited.
The fact that you started training at, you said, 16.
Yeah.
And you're in the UFC by 20. Now, what was your training? Were you doing two-a-days training sessions? You had to be kind of, how'd you get on that like fast track to get into the UFC within 4 years? That's amazing.
I just posted about this, but so I grew up playing softball, and I played at high levels, and I was a good student too. So like I was planning on going like Ivy League softball and playing that way. But when I was 16, it was in the middle of my junior year, and I from the second I stepped in the gym, like literally like probably a month or less later, I dropped out of high school to train full time. I dropped out of high school. I was like, I'm all in. Like, I only want to do this. Like, because, like, my attention span, like, I could only focus on fighting. Like, I used to do, like, school softball. Like, but when I started fighting, I was like, this is all I want to do. Like, I don't want to do anything else. So I dropped out the middle of my junior year to train full time. And then, like, 6 months later, I was only 16, so I could only fight pancration. You know, that's when you, like, it's, like, everything but the head strikes for kids. So from 16 to 17, I did that. And then right when I turned 18, like less than a month after, I had my first amateur fight, and then that same year, a couple months later, I fought for Invicta, made my pro debut at 18.
Wow. But dropping out of high school, did you have any issues with your, I know you had issues with your dad. Was your mother, what did your mother say about that?
So my parents actually, like, right before I started training, my parents split.
Okay.
So they're going through, like, a tough split. So for me, like, my mom, I wasn't talking to my mom at the time, so I was only with my dad. So for me, training was kind of like my escape. So, like, my dad supported it, but when I dropped out, I was just kind of like, this is what I'm doing. Like, that's it. Like, no one really had a say. I was just kind of like, I'm doing this. This is my future, and it is what it is.
Hey, when you said you wanted to go to Ivy League and play softball.
Yeah.
Now, you obviously probably wanted to major in something because you're saying Ivy League. What did you see yourself doing, like, if that had been your path?
Criminal psychology was what I wanted to do. I wanted to, like, be an FBI agent and, like, do stuff like that. Like, I've always been into, like, you know, the show, like, Criminal Minds.
Sure.
And stuff like that. Like, I always wanted to do that. Like, that's what I wanted to do. I was set on it, but I guess there were other people in store.
I'm interviewing John Douglas next week. He was one of those, the early FBI profiler.
Yeah.
Really interesting people and an interesting thing to want to do with your life at that young age.
Yeah. I don't know. I always wanted to do it. Like, criminal psychology was, like, what I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. But I mean, I guess I like to punch people or get punched better.
Well, wait, would you be the type, like, you'd see a horrible story on the news or you'd read something or whatever, and you would see the criminal's face and go, like, what makes that person, like, what makes you want to be?
Yeah, I've always been perplexed, like, why? You know what I mean? Like, what is, like, how are you wired wrong? Was it, like, past experiences? Like, so I've always, like, been super interested in psychology in general. But something about, like, criminal psychology and, like, trying to figure out people who, like, aren't right, you know, like, really took to me. I don't know what it was. I just find it, like, super interesting. Like, how does the brain work? Why does it work like that? Like, what makes someone, like, kill someone? You know, like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I wanted to, like, figure that out and learn about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at really, because you look at really terrible things, but it's a way to look at it analytically and not get caught up in the emotion or just the reaction of, oh my God, that's crazy, you know, to actually look at it and kind of pick it apart.
Yeah. And be like, why? I'm a big why person. So maybe that's why.
You are. Are you like that with your fighting training and the way you approach other fighters? Yeah,
looking for like what was the source of that? Like, why did I do this? Like, why did I move this way? Why did I slip this way instead of this way? Like, how can I fix it? Like, I'm a big, like, I break everything down little by little. I'm an overthinker, for sure.
You like all those crime shows, though? You like those, like...
I do, yeah, like, Criminal Minds, I, like, when I was, like, 10, I was, like, binge-watching, like, these murder shows, like, and I was always been fascinated. I don't know why, I've always taken to them, and I was like, I want to do that, like, that seems so cool to me.
I love those shows, like, the Dateline shows,
oh, good.
The
Snapped. I never took to, like, the Dateline, the real shows as much because they always kind of scared me for some reason. But, like, I like the fake ones, like Law and Order, like Criminal.
Oh, okay.
I like the fake ones a little better, but they're all for sure super interesting.
The real ones are, you know what's the worst thing about those? Is the 911 calls when you hear.
Yeah, we have to listen to them. Oh, they're so hard.
Dude. You hear the horror in people's, whether they find a dead body or there's a murder. So when you hear that, you know, that's the stuff, Jimmy, that could keep you up at night.
Sure.
So I recommend Jimmy. I look out for Jimmy. He's very sensitive.
A delicate boy.
Don't listen to those, Jimmy. You know,
I have a recommendation. I have a book recommendation.
Oh, what is it, Jimmy?
For Kay.
Ready Player One?
If you're into the psychology, not Ready Player One, no.
Okay.
It's called The Gift of Fear. And it's by a guy named Gavin DeBecker. And he's a bit of a profiler. And he talks about threat assessment. And it's really amazing, if you're into the psychology of that stuff, about why people commit violent crimes and how violent crimes are always predictable. Like, it's never random. It's always predictable. It's an amazing book. And if you're into that, you'll probably rip through it like I did in a very short period of time.
Yeah, that sounds like a good book. I'm super interested in anything psychology related. So,
yeah, The Gift of Fear.
The fear.
Now, are you a tape watcher when it comes to fights? Will you pour over tape and analyze them or no?
So I, early on, like, okay, I feel weird saying this because I'm only 21, but, like, I feel like I'm, like, a vet of the game and, like, an up-and-comer at the same time because, like, this will be my 12th pro fight maybe. And, like, I've had, like, pro boxing fights. So I feel like I've been around for a while, even though I'm really young. So, like, I've been through phases. And, like, I started off as, like a tape watcher. Like, I'd be laying in bed breaking tape down. Like, you know, like, she moves this way. She does this. Her habits are this. But I kind of noticed, like, it got me focusing too much on, like, what they're doing and, like, not what I'm doing. You know, the way I look at it, like, anything that, like, I do should beat them. And if it doesn't, then I need to get better. You know, so, like, obviously I have a general idea of, like, who she is as, like, a fighter or who my, like, opponent is as a fighter. But, like, I don't like to sit and break down tapes because – and then, like, on the flip side, like, people are evolving. You know, like, I look at myself, like, how I feel like I've evolved from my last fight to right now. And, like, I feel like I'm a – like, not a different fighter, but, like, I have a different skill set. And, like, I would hope that she's doing the same. You know what I mean? So I'm expecting the best version of her. So if I'm watching old tape, and what if she comes out and does something like I've never done? Like, it's just too much, like thinking for me. So for me, like, I let my coaches, like, you know, do the tape watching. They tell me, like, what I should, what I shouldn't do. But, like, other than that, like, I'm just focused on myself, what I'm doing in my training, how I'm feeling, and, like, what my strengths are.
I like that attitude. Yeah. You know, yeah. Some people get too obsessed. Oh, I can't do this because he does that well. I can't put my head there. It's good to, you know, have at least a coach or two watch if you don't want to personally watch it. You know, all right, we got to watch out for this. The person has a nice guillotine. But at the end of the day, like I tell my fighters or when I was fighting, they got the problem because they're fighting you or they're fighting me. That's how I look at it.
And, like, honestly, as a fighter, like, I know everyone in my division. Like, even outside of the UFC, like, I kind of just keep tabs. Like, I'm a fight fan, you know? So I keep tabs of, like, fighters in my division, whether they're in the UFC or not. So, like, usually when a name's given to me, like, I already know who they are. So, like, I already know, like, what they're about. Like, maybe I don't know, like, certain, like, super details, but, like, I already know, like, okay, well, I think she's a grappler. Or, like, okay, I think she's pretty well-rounded. Or, like, I think she's this. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty, like, I've always been like that. Like, I've known of Corey, like, since I was 18. Because I'm like, okay, we're the same age. Like, you know, we're bound to fight, like, at some point. So, like, I've known of her. But, like, I don't know too much about her fighting style. But, like, I know a little bit about, like, just from paying attention here and there, you know?
We had some, Matt, who was the fighter? Do you remember we were talking to somebody and he said that there was somebody he was going to fight and there was not a lot of tape on it. So he's like, I just watched this highlight reel. And it's like, when you're doing that, you're like, this guy's unbeatable. Like, it can work against you too, because you're watching their great moments.
Yeah, that's another thing is, like, you have to, if you're going to watch tape, you have to sit and watch, like, all 3 fives. You know what I mean? You have to watch every second of the fight because when you go and watch a video, like a highlight video, you're not going to see anything, like, bad that they do. You're only going to see
no weaknesses.
Yeah, which is good because, like, you want to see their strengths. But, like, I don't know. For me, it's just, like, I just spent too much time, like, thinking about them. And, like what are they going to do? And what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And it's, like, what about me? Like, I just need to focus on me. What do I need to improve? What am I good at? How do I make it better? And that's the only thing I'm focused on.
That was Corey Sanhagen, I think, that's who said that.
Oh, was according it? To our producer, Corey Sanhagen?
Yeah, I think so.
Kay, let me ask you, for our audience wants to get to, they want to get to know you better.
Yeah.
One hobby that has nothing to do with training. Go. Shoot.
Painting.
What is it?
Painting. I'm a big painter. I love painting. Yeah.
Interesting. Is it like the Bob Ross stuff or is it a pretty little tree?
No,
happy
like I have an Instagram page for it, like, and I just post them and like, I don't know, for me, it's a great, like, as a kid, I was always super artistic, but I got into softball when I was 10 and like, I was like treated like a little pro athlete. So I kind of abandoned it ever since. And then I got into fighting. So like, but like during quarantine, I picked it back up because I was losing my mind and I was like, I don't know what else to do with my life. So like, I started painting and I was like, damn, like I forgot how much I love to like paint. And it's such a good contrast from like training and fighting because like training and fighting is so like violent and like go. You paint and you're just like sitting there and like you're just like creating something like peaceful. You know what I mean? Nice. So yeah.
What's the Instagram page?
Uh-huh.
It's just K's Art Gallery.
Oh, K's Art Gallery. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah,
it's so nice. I can't even draw a stick figure.
I'm not like, the best drawer, but I'm like a good painter, I feel like.
Yeah.
Now, can you draw? Here's what I or paint. I used to be mildly artistic when I was a kid, and I found some of my old pictures, and I realized they were shit. I wasn't artistic. I thought I was until I found them as an adult. It was awful, but I could never do hands. Hands are really hard.
Hands, like for me, are Like, I don't understand how people, like, draw good hands. I don't know what it is about them, because, like, they don't seem like they're too hard to draw. Like, you could draw everything else, but something about hands, like, they just look like some, like, I don't know. It's awful. It's drawing hands.
Problem? You're putting six fingers on there or something? What's going on?
No, it's just, like, it looks on, like, this form when you draw it for some reason. It's just, I don't know if it's, like, the depth or, like, you know, like, I don't know what it is, but I can't figure it out, and it's been years, so.
I don't think Bob Ross ever, he draws trees. I don't see that guy drawing any hands.
No, he drew this. It's hard, Matt.
Oh, I'm not going to try it.
I was going to say, no, you should try it.
I don't think that's my cup.
It'd be funny if Matt couldn't draw stick figures, but he drew amazing hands, like Michelangelo-level hands.
Imagine I'm the next Bob Ross.
You never know. You got to try it.
Yeah, it's not
Okay, look, you are the, I believe, the final fight of the prelims, if I'm remembering correctly. You and Corey McKenna are the main event of the prelims, which is, again, always a great fight. And I tell everyone we interview who has that spot that that's the legit UFC saying that we think that you're going to motivate people to keep watching. Like, so that's a really good sign that the UFC has a lot of faith in you this early on.
Yeah. And I think it's like me and Corey fighting, it's great for, like, you know, what's coming, what's up and coming. You know, I feel like, you know, we're both 21. Like, that's crazy. We're both so young, and like, we're where we want to be, and we're going towards, like, where we want to be. So I feel like, I think it's going to be a great fight. You know, I'm excited to get the opportunity to, like, have, like, that featured prelim spot. And I mean, I can't wait. Like, I don't know. I get nervous just thinking about it. My palms are sweaty, but I'm super excited. Like, yeah, it's been 12 weeks coming. So I've had a lot of buildup.
Well, I'm excited too. Yeah. Listen, you let your hands go, you get a knockout, I wouldn't be upset, but I love your jiu-jitsu. So this thing hits the floor, I get giddy. I get all, when you did that arm lock, not just to see the reaction, it wasn't a yes, it was all like this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to see that. But listen, awesome job, Kay. We're a fan of your fighting.
Really great.
Thank you so much.
Good luck on Saturday, okay? You're on a good, it's a good card. Dos Anjos against Paul Felder has stepped up, which is a great main event.
100%. Yeah.
Talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Looking for a new home, or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access. The hits literally keep on coming. From one MMA event to the next, they grow in excitement and anticipation. This weekend is no different, with two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than DraftKings, an official partner of the UFC. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new users a free shot at $1,000 in total prizes. Now, if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA, it's easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a free shot at thousands of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy to deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion since 2012. That's $7 billion. So they know a thing or two about a big payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code UNFILTERED to get a free shot at thousands of dollars in total prizes for this weekend's contest. That's promo code UNFILTERED to get a free shot at thousands of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Before we get Eric Anders, did you see the Dana White Contender Series?
Yes, I did.
Three contracts were given out. Let me see. I have it right. Featherweight, Natan Levy. Of course, lightweight, Nicholas Moda, and strawweight, Luana Piero. And that Levy took the fight on 5 days' notice. He is an animal. And what a great fight between him and Shaheen Santana. Shaheen Santana's a tall, lean guy, both really good on the ground. Santana was on his back for a lot of the fight. But continually, I thought of you, of course, that I watched it, because continually getting out of bad positions, really, really good fight, and eventually was submitted in the early, in the third round, beginning of the third round. And that Nicholas Mota, did you see that fight with Joe Lowry? Very tough. Joe Lowry.
Oh, yes.
But that Mota, I think
Lowry,
it's Mota.
Lowry definitely deserves some credit for just firing back after his nose is busted.
Got shattered, yeah.
You know, and he looked phenomenal. So listen, I know, but but he was, that was, but that, what is it, Nicholas?
Nicholas Mota, yeah.
Yeah, very, very dangerous.
Great boxer, 3 and 4 punch combinations.
Wait, who took it on 5 days' notice? I'm looking at
That was Nathan Levy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 5 days' notice.
That's very impressive, no?
Yeah.
And then I really, Luana. Pinheiro. I listen, man, I want to see what's up with that girl, because I was looking forward to some stuff on the floor,
right?
Because Stephanie Frosto, she had some submission wins in her, and you're seeing like in the little preview to the fight, and she had a nice armbar, a nice guillotine, she has good striking, so I was like, look, if this hits the floor,
right,
you know, I want to see what, and next thing you know, she just came in some powerful strikes. So, and she looks really just happy to be there. And, you know, so congrats to everybody that got signed.
Yeah.
Nathan, yeah. Nicholas, and Luana. The first fight, which was
Sabatello over Taylor Moore.
Was it? Yes. Danny Sabatello. Yeah. And look,
very dominant.
He talked a lot of shit. Like he's a talker, and he's a very good wrestler, you know, very good wrestler. Mike Brown deserves credit, because this is what I like about Mike Brown. Because this is what I was thinking to myself. I'm like, all right, look, he's getting the fight down. He's just trying to beat him up from guard. He's hardly making a scratch on this guy, you know, but yet he's winning. He's dominating. But if you've watched the Dana White Contender Series before, you know what Dana is looking for.
Yep.
For the intention of just ending that fight. It shows, and they were, look, Danny Sabatello, you know, he was winning and he was dominating fairly easily. But Taylor Moore had a ground game. You know, it's not like he was just going to sit down there and get mounted, but he should have enforced. Mike Brown was pushing him, and he could have just said, listen, you're winning, just keep doing what you're doing. He goes, look, you got to, you know, try to pass the guard, get mounted. You know, let's look, you know, he was encouraging his fighter.
Yeah.
Don't just be content on getting a W, because that's not going to get you the contract. That's Mike Brown, you know how they say Bo knows? Remember those old school shirts?
Bo knows, yep.
Mike Brown knows.
He knows
what he's talking about. He's a former champion. He worked the corners of champions. He knows what he's talking about. Listen to him. Instead of talking shit, you know what you do? You pass. If not, you know, you have to show the intention of trying to improve your position down there, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just taking a comfortable win, and that's no way that's going to get you a contract. So I kind of knew when that fight was over, I'm like, all right, this guy's got potential as all hell, because he's a phenomenal wrestler, but he's going to have to be better on the floor as far as, you know, improving your position and finishing somebody, whether by submission or ground and pound.
You just said it, Matt. I think you said it well too. With the intention of finishing, even if you don't finish the fight, again, Nicholas Mota against, Joe Lowry, I mean, that was a real slugfest, like an old school, a great, great boxing match, just a great striking match, you know, and Lowry's extremely tough. And if you win that decision, you know, that to me is very, very much warranting.
Jimmy, what I recommend with Danny Sabatello, before we get to Erica Anders in a second.
Yes.
Go watch Glover Teixeira's last fight. That's watch right. How he'll do a ground and pound from a close guard, half guard, enough for his opponent to give some kind of reaction, whether he's trying to hit him back or open up to get out. And then he goes right into jiu-jitsu mode. All right, I'm done. I'm done striking. Now I'm just going to get past your guard. I'm going to look to mount you. I'm improving his position. If it fails, he goes back and settles into half guard and does work. That's where he's going to have to start taking a page out of that book, you know. But, man, I could talk about Glover all night.
I know. Although I think, you know, I got to be honest, and at least you get to Eric too, he takes a lot of punishment getting in like that. And he's so tough. I think that's going to be hard to do if he fights Blachowicz. I think that with the way Blachowicz hits. And again, not, of course, to disrespect Santos or Anthony Smith, but Jan Blachowicz, I think, has underrated power. And I think it'll be a little harder for Glover to take that from him coming in like that in order to get him on the ground.
Well, listen to me. I know you respect his legendary Polish power.
Yes,
well, you just said Anthony Smith. We just talked about Thiago Santos. Every time he touched him, he hurt him.
Sure.
Let's throw in there Cutelaba.
Yeah.
Okay. These are all beasts. Guess what? Glove with Teixeira.
He did.
All right. Let's get Eric on.
All right. Let's do it.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There he is.
Hey, Eric.
There he is.
Yeah, doing
I'm
nice.
So happy. Every time I see him, I remember when Ray Longo was on here just laughing about Eric's answer one time. Eric told him not to eat the cheese, and Longo started giggling like a schoolgirl. That never – you remember – Eric, do you remember that?
Yeah. Is he still eating cheese?
Ray Longo, I think he's stayed away from the cheese since. He actually lost weight, and he's growing his hair out. He's way past the midlife crisis. I don't know what he's going through.
Man, he might be a little longer. You never know.
Eric, let me ask you about your nickname, because there's me and Jimmy are.
I know it.
How? What is it, Jimmy?
There's no debate about it. It's your boy.
What is it?
Your boy.
Yes.
Why?
Jimmy, I thought you were saying it's Eric. Yeah, boy.
No, I would never say that because there's one A in it.
All right, let's start the interview now.
Hey, Eric, Matt thought it was, yeah, boy. I'm like, no, it's your boy.
Every time I saw it, I'm like, I love his nickname. Yeah, boy. And I would just yell it. And then I realized
it's not the play.
Right, exactly. Yeah. How did you get the nickname? What did somebody give it to you?
Man, it's just kind of the way I talk. You know, I say your boy a lot, help your boy out, let your boy borrow $5. And then people say, oh, your boy. And it just kind of stuck.
Oh, okay. It just kind of became. How are you handling the pandemic? You haven't fought since May, so fairly early on into this whole thing, and now here we are 6 months later. How are you holding up?
Man, I'm good. You know, really haven't changed much at all. You know, I've traveled, I've left the country, I've kept training, still training, and so my life hasn't changed a whole lot at all.
Where'd you travel to?
My wife and kids and I went to Croatia.
Wait, now are you or your wife from Croatia? Or did you just want to visit there? Was your family?
No, my stepson, his dad lives in Croatia, so we all just kind of went on vacation for my youngest son's birthday out there.
Oh, okay. And was it hard to get in? Were the borders closed, or how'd you guys do it?
Kinda. My wife went the day before us, and there were some Americans trying to get into Croatia as well. So, but they got turned away. They sent them back because they weren't letting anybody in. And the only reason why she got in is because, you know, her son is a European citizen, and his dad lives in Croatia and whatnot. And so when she was over there, she saw that happen. She texted me and she was like, hey, write a letter saying you're teaching a seminar or something. So, man, I had one of the girls from the gym write up this letter, make it nice and pretty. And when I got to customs, they were like, why are you here? I was like, oh, I'm just coming to teach a seminar, you know. And she's like, do you have a letter? So I handed her this paper that I forged. And she's like, all right, stamp the passport. And then me and my son, you know, got into the country like that.
What a smart thing. By the way, this is international intrigue. What a smart thing to do. But you got to be careful now if you go back to Croatia because you've admitted how you got in.
But man, you know, I don't know if they have a statute of limitation or if they're going to remember me or what. I seriously doubt there's a customs agent
who's
going to like write down. He's like Eric Anders next time he comes in. Yeah,
might be a fan.
What a smart thing to do, though. I didn't think that would work. Yeah, this is my letter. I'm here to teach, and this is what I'm doing. And how long did you stay for?
2 weeks.
Had you been before?
Yeah, it was my second time. It's a beautiful country. Never been. I suggest you go.
Well, what did you, it's got to be frustrating when you're in a foreign country, like especially a nice place, and there's not much to do because of everything being closed. So you guys were just kind of, was it still kind of open there?
Yeah, well, man, I think they had like one of the lowest cases of corona in the entire world. Oh. And things were open back up. You know, there were people walking around everywhere. The only place you had to wear a mask was like public transportation.
Now, you're fighting Antonio Arroyo. And what do you think? We were just talking before you came on about Teixeira and his amazing victory over Santos, because it really was. He always looks like he's just about to get knocked out, and then the next thing you know, he's on top of you. What do you think about the light heavyweight division? It seems like things are really getting more interesting since Jones left, which I didn't think was going to happen. But I guess without him there now, there's so many different paths to the top, it seems. I don't know. It just seems to kind of reignite the division.
Yeah, man, you know, I think it's like a shallow division. But I think at the top, man, those motherfuckers are hitting hard and, you know, they're highly skilled. You know, I guess it's the same in every division, but, you know, the bigger you are, you know, the harder you punch. And, you know, I'm just, it's crazy how Glover can take it like that and not put out, because it's not a toughness thing. You know, if someone hits you and knocks you out, he didn't knock you out because you weren't tough.
Right.
He shut the lights off, you know? So at 41 years old with the chin like that, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Shit was exciting, that fight.
Yeah. I thought he was. I thought Santos had him. I mean, I'm like, yeah, this is
two or three times he made him face plant, and he got up and finished the takedown. Yeah, Glover's impressive, man.
But now there's a lot of talk, and we've talked a lot about this too. But guys jumping out of the division, and I guess I get it because you want a bigger fight. But yeah, Błachowicz now has got the belt. And he wants to fight out of Adesanya, but now you have Glover, and you're like, shit, I'd like to see him get a shot before he's any older.
Well, I mean, the thing I don't like is when guys jump from one division to the next and get a title shot without fighting in the division. I understand Adesanya's a champion, but different ball game at 205. Man, those guys are more durable. They're stronger. They hit harder. You know, when I fought Thiago Santos, man, I thought that I was going to knock him out. I really did. You know, I watched David Branch fight him, and David Branch put him out, and I was like, man, I'm surely hit harder than David Branch. But at 205, you know, I don't think that they dehydrate as much. I think it's a lesser percentage of their body weight. So it's not as harsh on the body, and they're more durable and can take more punishment.
Yeah, I see that. And that's an interesting way to look at it, because it seems like some guys go up and they're fighting guys who are bigger than they're used to fighting. And so it affects them negatively. But I guess you're right. Your own body is healthier because you haven't had to cut like that.
Yeah. And I don't know what Thiago walks around at, but I've heard Jan say that he walks around at like 220. That's not, you know, 220, 225. It's not a huge, light heavyweight. But, man, if that guy tried to fight at 185, man, he'd probably, you know, be hurting.
Yeah.
Now, wait, is this a short notice fight? When did you take this fight?
About 2.5-3 weeks ago. I was actually on Fight Island with Walt Harris whenever they called me for the fight.
Oh, shit. And so you were already training, helping Walt? Or what were you?
Yeah, I was helping Walt. I wasn't like in fight shape or nothing. Man, the good thing about being on the island is, man, the food wasn't that great. And they didn't have a bunch of like candy and sodas and sugar and stuff. So my weight was good, you know, whenever they called me. So I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do that.
I'll tell you right now, Eric, next time you're on that island, you say there's no candy, don't visit Dana's room, whatever you do, because I go in there like a little fat kid in Willy Wonka. Remember that fat kid in Willy Wonka?
They
set up Dana with this little kid. I'll tell you right now. It had everything from Kit Kats to fucking gummy bears and the root beer gummies. And
where he gets that at? Thing,
like, he's like, hey, help yourself. I'm like, oh, little fatty.
Man. Hey, steal your boy some of them gummy bears next time you're up there.
Oh, 100% I will.
Yeah, do that for you. Do that.
Hey, we love Walt Harris, too. I think he's going to eventually he'll run for office and win if he hasn't. I think we talked to him about that. But eventually, I think he's going to have a life because he's such a good dude. I think he has a definite future in politics if he wants it.
Yeah, you know, he's very people friendly. He sticks out in the crowd. He's got one of those big, gregarious personalities. He's a bubbly guy. Yeah. You know, he would do good in office.
And when you went to fight out, was that your first time there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was it what you expected, or you said the food wasn't great? It wasn't.
No, it was not at all what I expected. And, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, that I got to go out there and whatnot. But when they first went out there and I was looking at all the other fighters' videos, you know, they were riding around in Formula One cars and, you know, it looked like they were having a blast.
Yeah.
But, you know, Abu Dhabi was still shut down because of COVID. To the public, so they just opened it up for the UFC guys, I guess. But when we got there, it was open to the public, so they weren't letting any of the, you know, fighters or corners go around the public. So we had like 50 yards of man-made beach with no current or waves or anything like that, and the hotel room, and that was about it.
Oh wow! And you said the food wasn't great; it was just kind of what, plain.
I didn't enjoy it, and I'm a food guy. You know, I like to eat. Wherever I go, whatever country I'm in, but it was just like, I didn't feel like I was experiencing Abu Dhabi. I could have been in Vegas and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference outside of the, you know, the topographical features and whatnot.
I think that's due to the times, obviously, because the quarantine.
Yeah, sure.
This and that. And I'll tell you right now with the food, the gluten-free penne bolognese was pretty fucking good.
You liked it?
It wasn't exactly a lamb kebab, but it was, listen.
Yeah. I had a burger. I was like, dude, this is like meatloaf. This is not like a real burger.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. That's like if I go to the Olive Garden, I'll take a bite of that breadstick and I'll start flipping over tables. I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
But will you eat cuisine and plate? Like, are you a brave eater? Like, I'm so nervous getting food poisoning. You don't care, you'll just try anything?
Yeah, the only thing I don't eat is seafood, man. I don't eat nothing to swim, but if I'm in another country, yeah, I'm gonna experience everything in that country that I can, especially the food and the beer.
Does seafood freak you out, or do you not like it, or did you get sick from it once?
Nah, we when I was younger, we lived in the Philippines, and we had a house lady that would come and she would cook, and I walked through the kitchen one day and man, she cooked the fish with the head that, like, the fish was staring back at me in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand the smell, and just from that day on, it's, you know, traumatic childhood experience. I think I got PTSD from that.
It scarred you. Why were you in the Philippines? Is your one of your parents in the military?
My mom was in the Air Force. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did you learn to fight? It's funny. You watch an Officer and a Gentleman when he was a kid, Richard Gere, like, they show his childhood in the Philippines, and he learned to fight because he was in the Philippines with his dad in the Navy. Did you start fighting then when you were a kid? Did you train all over there?
Man, I have zero combat experience before I started training MMA. JV high school wrestling is all I have.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever see that movie, Officer and a Gentleman?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not a must-see.
It's a good movie. No, Lou Gossett won the Oscar for it. It was a good movie. But I mean, it's just from my first.
Might be a little dated.
I'm an older man.
I mean, no, it's not.
I like dated. Older movies. I like older movies. I'm a movie guy. I just haven't seen that one.
What's the last thing you've seen and how'd you like it?
I'm watching The Tax Collector right now, actually. It's these Mexican guys. They're gang members and they go around collecting tax and from other gang members and whatnot. And it's got Shia LaBeouf, who I'm pretty sure isn't Mexican, but you can't tell in this movie. He's got the accent and everything. He's a fucking fabulous actor.
That guy is good.
He is good.
How come we don't see more of him? I loved him in Transformers.
Matt, you know, I was just looking at his thing because my coach was in here, and he was he didn't know that he was on Disney when he started. You know, he was on that show, Even Stevens, back in the day. And, you know, so I looked at his IMBD or whatever, and yeah. Man, he's in a couple movies. He's in another movie that came out last year called Honey Boy that I didn't know, and I'm gonna have to check that out because I like Shia LaBeouf.
You ever seen the movie Fury?
Yeah. He killed that with Brad Pitt, man, and they're in the tank. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was a good one.
That was a good movie.
Jimmy, you never saw the tank movie?
Never heard of it.
What?
No.
Jimmy just watching his fucking old Ozzy Osbourne concerts on fucking DVD.
No, I was watching An Officer and a Gentleman again.
Jimmy, you gotta live, man. That's a good movie.
No, he just did a live read. He played Spicoli in the live. They just did a huge live reading of Fast Times, like on Zoom for charity. that Sean Penn got involved. It was all, it was like Jennifer Aniston was in it, Julia Roberts. They just did it probably about 2 months ago, and he played Spicoli, and he was crazy. He was like, he was getting high while he was doing it, and he was in his garage in a car. It was really nuts. So yeah, he's a committed guy, committed Dude, actor. Man,
like to me, I think the accents is the hardest thing for an actor to do, you know, because I mean, you can practice crying, you can do all that other stuff, but dude, he is killing this, everything about him. He's got the Lokes tattoo. He's even got cauliflower ear in this movie, which doesn't have anything to do with him being Mexican, but I'm waiting for them to say why he has, was he MMA fighter? Did he wrestle or what? But, you know, it just started about 20 minutes in.
It's on Netflix?
Nah, I'm streaming, baby. I got the Fire Stick.
You know, okay. Time I go- Where would I watch that? Where was, what is that?
Get you a Fire Stick. Get you,
just, don't be asking your boy.
No, you, we, oh, you just talk, oh, the accent, nothing wrecks a movie, by the way, faster than someone who does, like, there's a movie called Dangerous Minds years ago, which is what made
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in that, and she was in and out of this Southern accent, and it was just distractingly weird. Do you remember the movie?
Yeah, but man, that movie came out when I was like 5 or 6 or 7 or something like that. I watched it. But I never pay attention to, like, her. Like, I just watched the movie just to watch it. Never really, like, oh, her accent sucks or anything like that. I'll go back and watch it today, though. I got plenty of time.
Well, that is the weird thing to do is I'm talking about this movie like it came out 2 weeks ago, and I forget that it was, like, 1993. I do that all the time. I reference older movies, and the people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, yeah.
Well, Jimmy's an actor, and Jimmy has an excellent, what is it, Jimmy? The London, the English accent, Jimmy. Show Eric.
I can't. I'm under contract, and they told me I'm not allowed to do it unless I'm on set.
Is that a real thing?
No, we're both lying. I cannot do an English accent.
But he is an actor. Listen, hey, Eric, listen, you see, like, Michael Bisping doing this stuff with the stunt work and some acting stuff and Warrior and some other stuff. You ever think about getting into anything like that? Any kind of movie stuff or anything? You look like an action hero.
Birmingham, Alabama right now is actually kind of a hot spot for movies. And me and a couple other guys did some stunt work and some extra stuff for a movie called Embattled with Stephen Dorff. Do you know who that is?
Of course, from Blade.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he was the True Detective for a season. But it was cool just to, you know, be behind the scenes and see how movies are made. And, you know, Bisping seems to be bubbling off that stuff. You know, every time I turn around, he's in something else. So, you know, maybe I could do something like that too.
Were you surprised by how, like, there's so much downtime behind the scenes of a film where there's so much just a cut, the lighting, you know, so much shit that you don't see. Like, what surprised you the most about it?
Like when you see two people talking in a thing, in a scene, sometimes it's just the one person talking and they have like an extra. It's not even the other actor standing there. You just see like the back of the head or like a quarter angle. So it'll be like, you know, Stephen Dorff yelling at his son, but, you know, you're watching Stephen Dorff yell at him and you can kind of like, you know, like they kind of pan out. You catch like a quarter angle of the back of the other guy. And it wasn't even the kid. It was just, you know, Stephen Dorff just talking to some random person. And how often they like redo every scene, that also kind of like, I'm like, damn, they do this shit a lot.
Yeah, and weird things will screw it up. It could be, you know, for a long time it was a boom mic dropping in or lighting or there's a sound problem. There's so many things and it gets frustrating after a while. People are like, what the fuck is it? Yeah, so it's interesting to hear. So,
you know, this wasn't like a, you know, super major Hollywood Steven Spielberg production or anything like that, but man, it was still cool to see, you know, how they do everything and how they film it scene to scene and day to day and stuff like that.
You got to start somewhere. George Clooney started with
He was on the Golden Girls.
Well,
did a guest spot.
That's actually making it. But I'm talking about he started in Killer Tomatoes, the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Hey, I seen that too. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's what he started with.
George Clooney.
Really? That was his, I thought ER was his first gig, no?
Oh, I forgot about ER.
ER has got to be ER is his fuck that.
How did I forget that?
He must have stepped in shit if that's his first gig. And what about Dust Till Dawn?
Yeah, seen that too, man.
And wait, back to Blade with Stephen Dorff. He was great in that. You ever see Blade?
Of course, man. I've seen them all. Yeah.
The, the best. That's an underrated movie. People always talk about the Marvel movies. Blade's one of the first ones that came out that was badass.
I don't think that too many people back then like recognized that Blade was a Marvel character. I think they were just thinking about it as a vampire movie. And two, I think they're remaking Blade.
Yes.
Now, I forget who they're having to be the actor or whatnot, but
not I'll be right Snipes. Here with.
Nah, I don't think so. I think he's a little over the hill, man.
He might be a little.
I'll be right here in the bed with the fire stick to catch.
Man,
it.
I can't wait. One of the best reasons, one of the best lines in that movie is when I think he just takes out Stephen Dorff at the end, and he says, "Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill," and he says it cooler than that. And then he just does something cool. It's such a good movie, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll see it. I forgot it was a vampire movie, too. I've heard of it. And until you guys just said, I forgot it was a vampire movie.
But just with that.
The only thing I didn't like about that movie is when Stephen Dorff shows up in the day and he's like, "Oh, I got sunblock on." I'm like, man, come on, dude. What? Sunblock's not going to help you. You're a vampire. Yeah. You're supposed to poof, explode, smoke, fire.
Well, he probably had like fucking 300,000. It was probably really powerful. Not that
SPF, ginger.
It's probably a really powerful sunblock.
Yeah.
Probably made by the vampires, right?
And why Blade was so powerful? Because they called him like the Daywalker, because he had all the powers of the vampires, yet he could hang out in the daylight, didn't bother him.
Yeah.
And he don't need that bullshit sunblock, just like my buddy Dean Thomas. He don't need that shit.
Nah, especially Wesley Snipes. He got that built-in sunblock. He's super straight.
I'm not touching that one. But I'm not.
All right, Eric, you're fighting on the main card this Saturday. It's a good main event too. Felder.
Paul Felder's the man, dude. Paul Felder
to the rescue.
Dude, that takes nuts to do that shit.
Yeah, I guess RDA. Yes, it does. And he's never, if Felder win or lose, is never in an unexciting fight. Now, he's always whether it's Mike Perry or Dan Hooker, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. He is a fun guy to watch.
He's always in shape too.
Always.
Yeah, I think he was training for a triathlon before he took this fight. Because, you know, he was kind of flirting with retirement and whatnot. And,
sure.
So I don't know how much, like, MMA training he's been in. But I'm sure if you're training for a triathlon, that motherfucker's probably been riding a bike for, 20 miles a day and shit. So I'm sure that he's going to be in shape and his cardio is going to be there for sure.
Plus, he's a good announcer, too. I think it's got to be harder. Like, once these guys start announcing – I mean, it's a much easier way to make a living. And when you look at like Cruz or DC when they start doing it, it's got to be difficult to re-motivate yourself when you're on that side of it.
Well, you can go get punched in the face for probably less money than you're making to call a fight, So what sounds more appealing to you?
Right, of course. Yeah, I'm amazed they still fight.
And you can put on a suit, comb your hair, not bust a sweat. I'm sure they got some great food in the green room.
Yep.
And you just hang out, after the fight. Or, you can get your anxiety up and, sweat and get punched in the face, black eye, buddy lip, missing teeth. Broken hand, being a commentator doesn't sound like a bad gig to me.
Not at all. And I'm amazed that anybody who's commentating will still fight. Like I'm amazed that that's how much people people miss the competition too.
That some people just have a passion, commentating may not be like Daniel Cormier's passion, fighting was his passion. So yeah, he probably feels like a little, empty inside, if you will. Right. When he's not competing and fighting, because man, when you're commentating, you're not competing with anybody, I don't think, so there may be something that they miss and long for in the fight game.
And before we let you go, have you thought of what you would do after? I mean, obviously you have quite a while before that happens, but like, is there a path you've looked at and go, yeah, someday I could see myself doing that?
Man, I've done some commentating gigs. I've done the some acting stuff, just really whatever kind of falls into my lap. But this is a good thing about my situation is me and my wife have invested every penny that I've made. And so now we're trying to make it so that I can make like residual income off of real estate and stuff. Matt, your boy Ala Quinta would be proud.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to do anything. And then, I have options. Like I'm not forced to fight longer than I need to. I don't have to get off the couch if I don't want to, so That's the real goal for me, to have options and be able to say, no, I don't want to do this anymore, or yeah, I'd like to keep doing it just because I love it or whatever.
What a smart thing to do it now too, to start setting up, because so many guys wait until they're done with whatever they're doing and then they're like, now what? You're better off starting off now and saving. It's probably a smart way to go.
Yeah, super lucky for me, I met a very financially savvy woman, because man, dude, I've had money before. Someone gave me $25,000 just to sign autographs when I was coming out of college. And the first thing I did was go to Las Vegas. And, you know, so clearly I'm not responsible with money, but she is. So I just, you know, listen to her and, you know, we do, she kind of points us in the right direction.
We need that, guys. Let me tell you, without my wife, I would just be a slob. Just like walking around like a stooge. You know what I mean? Jimmy knows that. That's why he's smiling. You need a good person behind you.
Yeah, it's imperative, especially if you don't have if you lack in a certain area or skill set, and that person can pick up the slack in that area. So for me, it's money, because I'll, you know, party and nickel and dime myself away and have nothing. But she's, you know, penny pincher, don't spend any money, works, makes money. So we're good.
Let me tell you something. There's other girls out there. And I'm not attacking my mother, but she ruined my father's line of credit. I remember I used to answer the phone calls at my house. It's okay. They don't care now. But I used to answer, if it's a bill collector, just your parents aren't home.
Yeah, man.
Home. I was a kid. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. My mother ruined my father's credit.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah. Thank goodness.
Got an 820 credit score. So
it's crazy.
My credit is fucked up, and I did it by myself. So I didn't need her help in doing that.
Hey man, well, you're making the right decision now, buddy, and I'm looking forward to you watching
the fight. Antonio Arroyo this Saturday in Vegas on the main card, of course, and it's always good talking to you, man. We'll definitely talk to you whenever you want, so thanks for coming on,
man. Appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a really good card this Saturday, and again, yeah, hats off to Paul Felder for stepping up on such short notice. And he probably was. I didn't realize he was training for a triathlon. I think Nate Diaz stays in shape that way too. Always Jimmy, training for something. Yeah.
You're right though, Jimmy. The controversy's over. It's your boy.
Your boy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not your. Yeah.
What did I think?
Yeah, boy. No. I mean, that was Flavor Flav. Your boy.
Hey, man. Really quick. I want to talk about, we already talked about the Dana White contender series. Yeah. Hey, man. I enjoy those. I enjoy those fights a lot. Let's do a little pick. Let's do one. Sure. We don't have to do the main card. We don't have to do the whole thing. Or do you want to?
You can do the main, the co-main. It's up to you.
Let's do the co-main and main.
All right, buddy.
All right, because it makes it a little bit more exciting. All right, let's Abdul Razak.
Razak Al-Hassan against Chaos Williams. Let me have to open this up because my eyes again are getting bad. I know people are sick of hearing me complain about that. My apologies.
Wow. I'm looking at this. Well, he did knock out. Nico Price, man. Mm-hmm. He took out Nico Price and then he lost his last one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus Aziz. Kill people's names. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Chaos Williams.
Okay. How?
I'm going to say it's going to be a fast and furious one. This is what I'm going to say. Second round knockout.
Huh. Well, you and I are on the same page. Except,
I don't want to be. Get off my page.
Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is going to win second round stoppage.
Oh, you said the opposite.
Yes.
Jimmy, I like when you spice it up. Okay. Now, listen. This is very interesting. Now, listen. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to go with RDA only because Paul Felder is stepping in. I might be different if they had a bullfight, a full camp. I'm sure Paul's not going in there I would never count Paul Felder out. So it's not like he wins. I'm going to be like, oh, man, I'm shocked, because he is a beast. Paul Felder is a beast. Mm-hmm. He's a beast. I enjoy Paul Felder. But RDA, former champion, coming off a couple of losses.
Yeah. How many? 4 out of 5 losses. Comeback. He's lost 4 out of 5.
Yeah. And like you said, maybe it's time for a win. Huh?
Yeah. Well, how are you taking him? Because I'm also taking RDA.
I'm going to take RDA by decision because I just think Paul Felder is too hard to finish.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And the fact that Paul hasn't had a full camp.
A little bit.
He's coming off a tough decision loss to Hooker. I'm going to take RDA by decision as well. But again, I think mostly because he had a camp and Paul is coming off no camp. And again, the gas tank. But again, if he's training for a triathlon, hold on a minute. Hold on.
I know.
Hold on. Fuck. You know what?
Not you, Jimmy. Come here. Give me a hug really quick. My wife's got my other kids out and they go shopping. So, Jimmy, what I do is I'm just hanging out. Want to say hello to my friend? Here's my youngest.
Hey, oh, Sophie. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Look at us. It's like we're on television. Give me a kissy. And a hug. Okay. Now get back out of screen. I love you. Go ahead. All right, Jimmy. My kid just wanted to make an appearance. So what do we got? And what bought you time to pick? You make your pick.
I'm going to change my pick.
Jimmy, you little spicy little bird.
Felder. Oh my second God. Round stoppage.
Oh, listen to me.
Here's my thinking. Because he hasn't had a camp. He's still got cardio, but he's going to want to get it done quick. Because he has not had a camp. So I think Paul Felder is going to come out, especially coming off that decision loss to Hooker. He's going to come out fairly aggressive. So second, maybe third. My initial instinct was third round stoppage. So yeah, I'm going to change it to third round. So I think third round stoppage because he's going to come out and he's going to want to do it. Even training for a triathlon, I still think it's not the same as a regular camp. So that's why my pick is my pick.
Third round stoppage,
yeah. Because I think he's going to come out very aggressive simply because he has not had a camp. And he doesn't want to go to the fourth and fifth. He doesn't have to.
Listen, you're only as good as your last predictions.
That's right.
So that means I'm fucking excellent.
You are.
Nah, Jimmy, come on, stop it. Listen. I had something in me that said that Glover was going to... Now I'm being a bragger.
Yeah, but you were right. That was a good pick.
Thank you so much.
That was a good pick.
Well, just because you and Rashad picked the opposite.
We did.
All right. I'm done. Jimmy, it turns me off when I brag about myself.
Well, I like it.
I'll tell you right now, I was killing it in Population 1 earlier. Is it silly to brag about video games?
No. Yeah, I'll be there in a second.
Jimmy, so we both made our picks.
Yes.
And today is...
Wednesday.
I was about to do it again because every day kind of blends in. Today is Wednesday. So we got fights this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that, Jimmy. What time are the fights, my friend?
I'll tell you in 1 second.
Let's look that up.
We should.
Oh, I got it. I got it first.
4 o'clock is the prelims.
Prelims start at 4. What's that?
Maine is 7 o'clock on ESPN, 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus, and the Maine is on ESPN Plus at 7 p.m.
I love it, Jimmy. I love having the fights every weekend. It makes me so happy.
It's great.
It gives me something to do.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a party at the Sarah House. And you're always welcome to come over here.
I will soon. I would love to.
All right, buddy. I miss you. I'm going to touch base with you this weekend.
Yes, we always do.
And people have been hitting me up with the UFC Unfiltered. The UFC Unfiltered Instagram page caught my little Beetlejuice reference the other day. They know what I'm talking about.
Of course they do.
Oh, they love us. And I want to thank everybody. Because Jimmy, they love us, and I love them back. Thank you, Unfiltered Army.
Yes. Say,
Jimmy,
and
could
thank you.
Unfiltered Army?
I do.
Could you?
What? Thank you, Unfiltered Army.
You said that.
Well, I was going to thank Kay Hansen and Eric Anders, but I will also thank the UFC Unfiltered Army.
I know what I got to get better at, Jimmy?
Yes.
Goodbyes. I'm not that great with them. I kind of like drag it out.
That's okay.
Because I miss you.
I miss you too.
All right, everybody. Jimmy, I'll touch base with you by this weekend, and we'll talk.
Okay, buddy, be good.
Goodbye, everyone.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe.
Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.